is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Thursday, the 11th of January, 2024, and you are on the clock with Aaron Green. Joining me in studio this morning is Mr. Mark Palmer.
Good morning, Aaron.
And Mr. C.A. Newry.
Good yawning this morning.
Absolutely. We're going to get the show started. Remember, the Nassau Cruise Port and Zamar Productions is presenting Phil Stubbs live in concert. Ooh. This Saturday, January the 13th, 2024, at the Cruise Port Amphitheater. Costs $50 for general admission, $75 for VIP. Tickets available at BahamasEtickets.com, at Plantation Bar and Grill, Caves Heights and Miniso, at the Mall at Marathon. Doors open at 7 p.m. Show starts at 9 p.m. Phil Stubbs will be joined in concert by Nishi LS and Ira Store and the Spank Band. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful
time. I saw him
time.
Last year. He was amazing. And apparently he's going to have a bigger band this time around. I was told he's going to have even more people in his band. So it's going to be an even better show. I've been told.
I need some Grammys to take me to the Phil Stubbs concert, please. I need some chaperones to take me to the Phil Stubbs concert. It's going to be a grand
time. They weren't
time.
That old, the people there.
That's not the point. That's the problem. They didn't have enough fun. That's why I call in on the experts, Mr. Palmer. Okay. The people who know how to have fun at a Bahamian concert. Mm. The people who know how to jam to Phil Stubbs. When they hear their boy playing and that knee start shaking, that's where I want to be. This Saturday, January the 13th, 2024. Again, doors open at 7 p.m. Showtime, 9 p.m. Tickets available at BahamasEtickets.com, Plantation Bar and Grill, Caves Heights, and Miniso at the Mall at Marathon. The Sand Dollar merchant list is growing. If you're looking for more places to spend the digital Bahamian dollar, visit sanddollar.bs/merchant list. To view a list of verified merchants in New Providence, Grand Bahama, and the Family Islands. If you're a business owner and you'd like to join the Sand Dollar Merchant List, contact 302-9880 or SDAU at centralbankbahamas.com. That's SDAU at centralbankbahamas.com. We're about to give away some more Sand Dollars. Every week, six listeners can win 30 digital Bahamian dollars if they get the correct answer and have a digital wallet. When you call in, give the producer your name and cell number and wallet provider. Include wallet provider and custom names in texts. Download a digital wallet right now because every Tuesday and Thursday you can be a winner. And today is a Thursday where you can win. Let me throw out the numbers to call. 323-6232, 325-4316. 325-4259, 242-300-5720 for our Family Island residents. The number is toll free. You can also play and win. The text line powered by BTC, 422-GR96. That's 422-GR96. Producer, let's go to this call before, okay, the call is gone. Again, the numbers to call for the trivia and to join the conversation, 323-6232, 325-4316. 325-4259, 242-300-5720, toll-free for Family Island residents, and text line 422-GR96. First trivia question for the day. Which public holiday commemorates the end of apartheid in the Bahamas? Which public holiday commemorates the end of apartheid in the Bahamas. Again, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720. Producer, the lines are lit up. Let's go to that first caller. Good morning, caller. You're calling to answer the trivia?
Is it Emancipation Day?
No, ma'am. It is not Emancipation Day. It's not Emancipation Day. But call, think about it and call right back. We lost the second caller. I guess the second caller had the same answer. Again, which public holiday commemorates the end of apartheid in the Bahamas? It happened so recently, I can still feel it in the air.
I don't think a number of behemoths know what apartheid means.
So apartheid, so let's use the South African context. Apartheid is when the majority group in the country is subjugated, has lesser rights than the minority group in the country. Good morning, caller.
Hello.
Hi.
Is it Majority Rule Day?
It is Majority Rule Day. Thank you, ma'am. Please don't hang up. I'm going to transfer you to the producer. I need you to give him your name, your cell number, and your wallet provider. Yes, ma'am?
Hello.
Okay, producer's got you now. This is great. I got a text answer as well. 1759700 is the first text winner. But you guys hold on. I'll be contacting winners at the end of the show. Just before we move on to the next question of the day, I want to say Happy Majority Rule Day to everybody in the country, whether you're Bahamian or not. Because the principle of majority rule goes beyond national constructs. Goes beyond national constructs. So I want to say Happy Majority Rule Day to everybody in the Bahamas. But I want to send a special good morning to members of the HHT family, in particular, Mr. and Mrs. Claude Hanna, for continually opening their space to family members to create an environment where we can continue to build upon the legacies of our mothers and fathers, our grandmothers and our grandfathers, and our ancestors. Good morning. All right, here is the second trivia question for the day. I want to throw them out as quickly as possible. 1789 ICU2. Here's the second question. Which Bahamian politician wrote the book, The Faith That Moved the Mountain? Which Bahamian politician wrote the book, The Faith That Moved the Mountain? Numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720 for Family Island residents. Producer, the phone line is lit up. Take that call, former. Good morning, caller.
Hi, Sir Randolph Fox.
Yes, ma'am. Sir Randolph Fox wrote The Faith That Moved the Mountain. Thank you very, very much, ma'am. I need you to hold on. We're going to transfer you to the producer. I need you to give him your name, cell number, and wallet provider.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Gentlemen, I'm going to throw out the third question since we are right here. Numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720 for Family Island residents, 422-4796 for my texters. Here's the third question of the day. Majority rule was achieved on January 10th, 1967. But majority rule became a public holiday in what year? Majority rule was achieved on January 10th, 1967, but majority rule became a public holiday in what year? I'm going to give you all a clue. 2019 is not the right answer. 2019 is not the right answer. I will say this, for the amount of time we have been celebrating majority rule, we haven't evolved our celebration sufficiently. Producer, can I pick up this next phone call? Person on the phone line. Thank you, producer. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. Is it 2022?
No, it is not 2022. It is not 2022. You could find the answer online. It should be in every textbook by now, but you could find it online. I might hang up and call back. Boy, let me see. Let me see. No. 1967 is the year when it was achieved. What year did it become a public holiday? Good morning, caller.
2014.
Yes, sir. It's 2014. 10 years ago. Oh, turn your radio down. I need you to, I'm going to transfer you to the producer. I need you to give him your name, your cell phone number, and your wallet provider. Caller. Okay, to the person who just got the answer, 2014, please call back, identify yourself. The producer knows your voice. And the producer will take that call. You can only win once per trivia. You can only win once per week. All right, I've got a text answer. We got the answers, 2014, 10 years ago. All right, I'm going to throw out one more question. I want you to know that text answer came in before the caller. One more question. I'm switching it up a little bit. Which two NFL Super Bowl contenders for this year's Super Bowl do not have to compete this weekend in the wild card games? Which two 2023-2024 NFL Super Bowl contenders do not have to compete this weekend in the wild card games? In the wild card games. That's the last question of the morning. Numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720. Which two NFL teams vying for Super Bowl champions do not have to play this weekend in the wild card games? Gentlemen, as we wait for that answer to come in, there's lots to talk about this morning. On my table, I have a whole bunch of notes that I prepared, and then, of course, I picked up the newspapers this morning, and there's so much to talk about. Yeah. I want to talk about the headline in today's Guardian, warning on illegal immigration, given by Reverend T.G. Morrison at a special majority rule day service. Wow, I want to talk a bit about that. In today's Tribune, government broke whistleblower protection. A top civil servant is alleging the government violated the Freedom of Information Act's whistleblower protections by intimidating and sidelining her after she sought to highlight, quote unquote, wrongdoing. Another headline, Davis tries to explain Mitchell, but recording doesn't match. At this moment, I would like, if anybody has a copy of Fred Mitchell's cover of The Gambler by Kenny Rogers, I'd like it. It's in a voice note that Fred Mitchell would have issued in the midst of the Kirk Cornish crisis. I'm not saying it's related to the Kirk Cornish crisis. I'm just trying to build a timeline. It is the Fred Mitchell cover of The Gambler by Kenny Rogers. The part where he said, you got to know when to hold him. You got to know when to fold him. You got to know when to walk away and when to run. I like the Wyclef Jean version. So you got to count your dumplings. Well, they're all on the table. If anybody has a copy of Fred Mitchell's cover of The Gambler by Kenny Rogers, I'd love to hear it. It's a voice note where he quotes the most famous lines of that song. Again, Tribune headline, Davis tries to explain Mitchell, but recording doesn't match. In fact, gentlemen, I have notes prepared on freedom of information. I had them prepared to talk about last week. I didn't focus on them because I believed that this is merely a distraction. I said it. I believe this is a distraction.
What makes you think it's a distraction?
Well, I have a rule that I've developed over several years of social commentary. When they point left,
you look right.
I look right, up, down, inside, outside, to the heavens, and to the place where we don't want to go. I look all around before I focus on where they point me. It's just something I practice. There's nothing in particular. Well, I tell you why I think it's a distraction. I have never, never seen Prime Minister engage in a battle of contradictions with Mr. Fred Mitchell. I've seen him do it with Mr. LaRota. We've seen him do it with the minister responsible for BPL. We've seen him do it with the Minister of Education. It's a matter of trust. It's not a roof that collapsed, it's a trust that collapsed.
Former Minister of Works.
Former Minister of Works. Mm-hmm. But I've never, ever seen him. In fact, if I could recall, because, you know, collectively our memories are horrible. It's like we forget who people are, we forget who they is too, right? If I could recall properly, he even contradicted the AG.
Minister of Tourism.
Tourism, Minister of Tourism. But I had never seen him contradict Mr. Fred Mitchell. In fact, a few days ago, like a couple of months of days, Davis was harking at how vital Mr. Mitchell is to his administration. That he endorsed Mr. Mitchell. He put all his trust in Mr. Mitchell.
Yes.
But here he is, contradicting Mr. Mitchell.
On Tuesday, we had a show.
Mm-hmm.
We had a show where I mentioned that Mr. Mitchell is the most honest PLP we have. And that whatever he says, we must interrogate it as the truth. Because he tells you what is the underlying subject that is happening. And whereas other politicians tend to politic, Mr. Mitchell doesn't politic. So my question is, who do I believe? Do I believe the Prime Minister? Or do I believe a Fred Mitchell when he said that we ain't interested in that Freedom of Information Act? I can only go by the past as to who has been the most honest politician we ever had. And that's Fred Mitchell. Someone lying. And I have my trust in Mr. Mitchell.
Really?
Yes. You don't lie about nothing. He'll tell you how it is. You don't have to like it. You don't have to like it, but he can say what it is.
Well, see, this is why I say it must be a distraction. There's no way that this is not orchestrated. Because surely the Prime Minister knows and understands the millions of dollars that have been poured into creating the infrastructure, both human resource and technical and physical resources, pulled together to bring the project to this point.
Mind you, this conversation started with the Prime Minister because no one basically asked the Prime Minister. I use that loosely, right? Because the media kind of directed the question to him. The idea, he said that this is not on the agenda at this present time.
Mm-hmm.
He could have said that we're working on it and the conversation is going to be dead. But he made a statement. This is not on the agenda. We have more important things to concentrate on. Full stop.
Right. But see, that doesn't make sense because you risk losing the resources that you've already put in. All three, the physical resources, because you're paying rent, you're supporting offices, the function of offices somewhere,
mm-hmm.
you're going to lose the human resource, you're going to frustrate people who have dedicated themselves to a particular policy project, and you just have them sitting there waiting, right?
The conclusion is, did the Prime Minister give a date? Or when he anticipate this act is going to come up for fruition? This act already passed.
We have to go back to the last election. We have to go back to what each party said, what each party said with regard to that. And I don't remember them saying it was low priority, though.
Just recently, he said it within two weeks.
No, he said it, but at that time.
At that time. But now we know it's low priority. Yeah. Right? But then the office of the prime minister came back and said it's definitely a high priority thing, just that we have no date. I believe that nothing is going to come in fruition in terms of enacting it, making it come tangible, happening under this administration, when I say this administration, in the next 2 years, mm-hmm. by the end of the election. So, and that will solidify the claim of Fred Mitchell. If it happens before, then the prime minister is right. And if it doesn't, if it happens afterwards, we know that the prime minister...
Well, listen, timelines have been given, right? You'll forgive me for a second. I was trying to find my hard copy of the notes. But I have a series of articles here that people could follow if they want to get a sense of whether hard targets were provided, whether the people working on the project, the people assigned to the project, like we appointed an information officer, whether they had been given hard targets, whether they have an expectation of a timeline. I start with the article, further delay in full enforcement of FOIA, a Guardian article from the 6th of November, that indicates that while the project was, when the project was initiated by the FNM, and I'll read from that article, when he made the announcement, then Attorney General Carl Bethel cautioned that it would be another 3 to 6 months before the office started offering services to the Bahamas. The Christie administration passed a revamped version of the bill in 2017. Mm-hmm. So within the previous FNM Minnis administration, we were given a 3 to 6 month timeline. We are now a minimum of 3 years post that point, with the government saying that it
when's the next election?
2026, unless the trend of snap elections continues, right?
Then so if it doesn't happen this year, it probably won't happen next year, because they don't usually do anything that lasts the year before the election, right? So I think we have a 1 year window, really, for them to try and get this through.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I don't think it's reasonable to tell us at this point, oh, this is an example of why a party needs more than 5 years. This is not that example, mm-hmm. not at all. In fact, so the first article I point listeners to is further delay in full enforcement of FOIA, 6th of November last year. The next article is FOIA office awaits technology to launch pilot project. Information Commissioner, and that's the 2nd of January of this year. Information Commissioner Keith Thompson said on Sunday his office has done all it needs to do to get the Freedom of Information pilot program to a place where it is ready to be launched, but is awaiting regulations and the technology that is needed to facilitate requests.
Do we order the technology? Have we?
Now, the one thing the commissioner says is that he cannot speak to those dynamics because those are not within his purview. All he knows is that he awaits a response from the AG in terms of the regulations. I think they have to be even tabled, maybe tabled and passed, and then they await the technology.
I doubt it's going to be passing, bringing fruition this term.
Well,
they're going to need 5 more years.
When the prime minister suggests that it is not an urgent matter, I point back to the article, Government Broke Whistleblower Protection, in today's Tribune. A top civil servant is alleging the government violated the Freedom of Information Act's whistleblower protections by intimidating and sidelining her after she sought to highlight wrongdoing. Antoinette Thompson, permanent secretary in the then Ministry of Transport and Housing, until she was placed on unrecorded leave in April 2023, is now seeking exemplary and aggravated damages for alleged breaches of that law and the Public Finance Management Act after the government sought to punish her for drawing attention to alleged clear acts of public malfeasance. See, I can't imagine that the prime minister doesn't understand the importance of ensuring that all provisions of the act are enforced. Mm-hmm. Secondarily, what a reckless conversation to be having in the midst of the petition by a former civil servant. What is the purpose of the conversation? Is it a distraction? Is it a message? But surely, freedom of information is a fundamental tenet of a democracy. Now, you may argue with me that freedom of information is not a fundamental tenet of the Westminster system.
Didn't Mitchell say it's all out there anyways? I seem to remember reading from the article, he said all the information is out there.
So you're telling me Mr. Mitchell is both a singer and a comedian? I mean, I'm going to try and find it so I can quote it directly from the article. We oppose FOIA deal. Progressive Liberal Party, and this is the 5th of January, 2024, Progressive Liberal Party PLP Chairman Fred Mitchell said yesterday the David administration opposes the idea of the Freedom of Information Act, claiming it's nothing more than a bunch of public relations because there is no issue with access to information in the Bahamas. Stick a pin. Okay, at this point in time, I never thought I would say it, but perhaps it's time for Mr. Mitchell to resign.
What?
As Minister of Foreign Affairs.
So who you put there?
At this point, I don't care.
No, I care.
Let a chair run it.
What?
Let a chair run it. Let me repeat the sentence. Mitchell's comment... Oh, here we go. The chairman said yesterday the Davis administration opposes the idea, claiming it's nothing more than a bunch of public relations because there is no issue with access to information in the Bahamas. Bang. Of course there's an issue with access to information in the Bahamas. Not just that, there's an issue with how people access information in the Bahamas. There's an issue with information that should not be published being published, and there's an information that should be published not being published. There's an issue with information that should be documented publicly, posted publicly. It's not posted publicly. Government agencies still posting pictures of press statements to social media platforms. Can you not post an actual document pasted by journalists, by students, by the average reader? Stick a pin, call us on the line. Good morning, caller.
Aaron, good morning, CA.
Good morning.
I think we as Bahamians need to get to the point where we stop accepting mediocrity as an excuse for not executing the things that was promised on the campaign trail. You know, the current administration has been in opposition prior to coming to government in the last election. All of these issues that we discuss on this radio from time to time, day to day, whatever, have been issues and concerns that we, the Bahamian people, have been asking sequential governing parties to address and come to some resolution so we can take them off the table and move on to the other more important things as we progress this country forward and put it onward. It is sad that still today, in office as a governing party now. These things, all of these studies that should have been done, you promised these things. We should not be seeing solutions. We should not still be discussing these things. Freedom of information just is one aspect that the Bahamian people have been asking for quite some time to be enacted. Also, along with that, the new Whistleblower Act that we have also been asking to be enacted there seems to be no semblance or no urgency to bring these things to a resolution. So what I'm saying in essence is these five-year term governments, we need to stop them. Any government that is serious about the affairs of this country should look beyond 5 years and start instituting a 15, 20-year plan that regardless of what administration comes into governance, as long as the criteria has been fleshed out, and there is meat enough on the bone to carry the legislation over, then we need to have these things done. The taxpayers' money, in closing, has been wasted from time immemorial on these studies that have been done. Things are sitting on the shelf that can be executed and implemented, but because the powers that be obviously got skin in the game, whereas if they were to implement or touch them, it affects their bottom line, i.e. power and money, that they are not going to implement these things. And we as Bahamians, we are sick and tired of both of these administrations that have served this country over the past, especially over the past 30 years. It is totally ridiculous. This country has no progress.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, caller. And while I believe firmly that this is a distraction, it's also one of the most important conversations that we're going to have in the country, the idea of freedom of information, who deserves access to it. How does the government locate itself in the country and the process of governance? Who has a right to access to the information? And if a government works for me, the citizen, why don't I have access to most of the information? There's some things I understand because of the nature of the information and the means of disseminating the information that we citizens can't get access to everything. But what's happening here is absolutely ridiculous. I'm going to get back to it because I got about 3 callers on the line. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. I'm sorry that we lost you. Let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller.
A pleasant good morning, Ms. Green.
Morning, Sparky. How you doing?
Good morning, ma'am. But first of all, Ms. Green, I want to ask you a question. But first of all, I would like to say, I take you as a down-to-earth, open, honest, and fair person when it comes to being an individual in our community as well as a talk show host. You and some people that I would like to name, I call them fair. One of the questions I would like to ask you is, if you give me a moment, when are you going to have a real open line show? When you say
Sparky,
open line.
Sparky, this is what you decided to use your time on the radio for, to ask me when we have a real open line?
Yeah.
I got about 7,500 words that I want to speak today, and I'm trying to get them out. Good morning, caller.
Just not going to wait so long with you and you, Aaron.
Good morning, Brayman. How you doing?
I'm all in, thank God. We need justice, law, and order in this country.
Yes, sir.
Boy, my thought got away from me. But you know what I want to say?
Yes, Brayman.
Golly!
Call back, Brayman. Don't watch nothing.
Yeah.
Call back.
Just
let the producer know it's you, and he'll wave me, and I won't delay. All right?
Wonderful.
No problem. So two things. Like, when you're on the radio, everybody is your family, and nobody is your family. Right? When you're on the radio, you have to remember the interconnectedness of things. Right? But you also have to remember that family affiliation should not prevent you from being honest, fair, and balanced. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And balanced. That's very important. What I want to talk about, freedom of information. We have a problem culturally. This is not just in politics. Culturally, we have issues with freedom of information. We know that information is valuable. But we have not created mechanisms that allow us to extract the value of the information, but also protect all constituents involved. We believe in the value of information, but we don't believe in the freedom of information. We still live in a culture where mothers don't feel the need to tell their children who their daddies are. Right? We live in a highly sexualized culture, but we don't understand the importance of disclosure. We want to be, I don't want to say promiscuous, but we want to be non-monogamous, but we refuse to acknowledge the importance of information. Right? Let's go to the next caller and get back to that. Good morning, caller.
Yeah, Aaron.
Hey, Brayman.
What I want to say is, right, we, the people, the voters, should have freedom of information so we could know why to do, what to do, and when to do. The thing is, certain things which you don't want the public to know, speaking of the lawyers and hello?
I'm here.
The politicians, right? You put it in law and make it classified, you know what
for
I'm saying?
For a number of years, yeah.
Yeah, and teach it to the public, the Bahamian public, so when push comes to shove, they will have a problem with knowing what or knowing what not to ask for, you see?
Yes, sir.
Because it's certain things are being classified.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Absolutely. See, collectively, we have short memories. It's a symptom of a collective trauma. If you understand how close we are. See, that's why this majority rule, the tie-in is so important. When you realize how little time has passed since the end of apartheid in the Bahamas, since the end of enslavement of Africans in the Bahamas, you realize that the trauma is so close to us that we have collective short memories, which is why Freedom of Information Act is important. And we now working with governments who obfuscate, obscure, and hide information, not because of national security interests, but because of personal, political, and collective party political interests and agendas. We are destroying a country because we allow a political class to tell us what we must remember and what we should forget. We allow a political class to tell us what information should be important to us and what shouldn't. And members of parties allow their party leaders to obfuscate and obscure their own experiences for the sake of winning votes, for the sake of jockeying for power within the party.
See, we're never going to get anywhere, Aaron, because everything is incremental, but incremental in such small little steps that everyone can say, oh, yeah, we're making a little progress towards it, but we're never going to get there. Right? And, that's the big issue. You need to have a wholesale change of the system, how everything is done, incremental little things towards, FOIA or whatever it is, are never going to get us there.
And here's the jokiest part.
But nobody cares. That's the other thing, and they know nobody cares.
No, people care. People are too frustrated and their lives have been so complicated, they do not have the time to interrogate, to find the information. Mm-hmm. The information is not put on display. You got to go and you got to know people. You got to know. In fact, you have to know the framework within which the government operates inherently restricts access to information. If you don't know somebody's private line, it's unlikely you're going to get through to an officer, to an individual person. The state of the phone systems. But let's go to this call. Caller, good morning.
Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, cousin. How you doing?
Fine, thanks. Good morning, Mr. Palmer.
Good morning.
I'm Mr. Neary.
Good morning.
Listen, Aaron, my mind goes on to who is being paid to do this work. And how long were they paid? Because it doesn't seem like this is going to come to any fruition, like Mr. Neary said earlier.
I'm not worried about who's getting paid, because they are civil servants or appointees. They've been appointed, and they can only do what's been put in front of them.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. However, that's a continuous salary, even though the work is not getting done. So that's my point. That's a continuous salary.
Yes.
So they're being paid a salary to do a work that their hands are tied and not able to do.
Yes.
So shouldn't something happen along that line also to cut those salaries until they make up their mind what they are going to do?
Well, see, it depends on how far along in the process they are. When the information commissioner says that they're waiting for technology, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if they have computers already, there may be some work that they are able to do in preparation.
They can use my phone.
It's national security interests involved as well, right? I ready to go find 6 old computer. In fact, I go into ZNS for the beige computer. Let's just start with them. But it's a national security interest.
I understand all of that.
Yeah.
But you realize that the persons who are in charge of seeing that this thing go forward, there's a lot of their information that's going to come out that I guess they don't want out. So they are trying to drag their feet, so to speak, to avoid that. But don't they know that somewhere along the line, someday coming, it will come out?
Absolutely. Thank you very much, caller.
Yeah.
They leave us to speculate. Here's the next thing before we transition.
So we just have to rely on whistleblowers. That's the only way we're going to get this information now, right? Unfortunately.
Get fired.
But listen, here's the...
And they're the ones that get imprisoned, right, if you look at other countries.
Here's the irony. Here we are on the radio lobbying for the full enforcement of this Freedom of Information Act. They didn't even tell us what's in the Freedom of Information. I mean, right? You see what I'm saying? Like,
they're only going to roll out a few.
Right.
They're not going to roll out everything.
But hold on. There's 10 pilot program. 10, mm-hmm. 10 agencies in the pilot program, right? But we weren't even involved in the process of creating the law. We didn't get to speak to the structure of the law. We didn't get to say, no, 20 years is too late mm-hmm. to wait for these types of documents mm-hmm. to be released. We didn't get to say these types of documents can be released in 5 years if the stakeholders, like in court, to be able yeah. to be a part of a case, you have to show an interest. If you can show an interest, right?
I mean, the other issue for me, and you're absolutely right, the thing that I would advocate for is lack of redaction. Because when you find how it's working in other countries, when they you know, they'll come up with any excuse to redact the information, right. and they'll say it's in the national interest, but you know, there's no way of challenging that. It's like, we're not going to release it, mm-hmm. and that's like, it. And we're going to have the same situation here. What's to say that the information officer will just redact everything?
Right.
Or a huge amount of it without any recourse?
Absolutely. And who makes the determination? Is it an individual? Is it left to the discretion of the minister responsible? Is it left to the mm-hmm. discretion of the minister involved?
No, it's left to the discretion of the minister who's going to get into trouble.
But listen, I got a text here that says, we've not heard anything more about who was being dishonest, Keith Bell or Chester Cooper, as it relates to the 60-plus Chinese workers at the Hilton. So the PM and Mitchell know that the press will drop the issue and it will fall by the wayside. We got short, short memories. Like I say, I still believe that the current public discussion is a distraction. And I want to know
what is being what we are being distracted
and I
from.
Also want the government to know that we could walk and chew gum at the same time. We can fully interrogate the distraction, fully knowing that there's something else we need to be focused on. A couple of stories I had lined up. Bahamas Sustainable Investment Program launched in Dubai, the 1st of December, 2023. Tapped as an ambitious and innovative finance initiative, the Bahamas Sustainable Investment Program was launched yesterday at the 2023 United Nations Climate Change Conference, COP28, with the Davis Administration Special Policy Advisor Jerome Fitzgerald revealing targets for a $500 million facility.
Facility, eh?
Yeah. Now, my finance people know what facility means. Initially, you may think a building, but...
Facilitation.
Could be a loan.
Facilitation.
Yes, I think...
Sound like a loan.
The government... I don't know what it is. I can't say that it's a loan.
Salary.
The government intends to... I don't think it's salary. The government intends to use the funding from the initiative to make Bahamian infrastructure more climate resilient and transition to clean energy. Additionally, the Davis administration said those funds would go toward the conservation of Bahamian coastal zones, the reduction of biodiversity loss, regenerative agriculture, carbon sequestration, and participation in natural asset-backed carbon credit programs. Addressing the launch event in Dubai, Fitzgerald said the initiative will strategically mobilize high-quality investments that will meet environmental, social, and governance indicators, and serve as a demonstration of private sector actors and government working together for strong climate action. Quote, this innovative program was craftily designed by Resilience Capital Ventures in collaboration with our policy teams, he said. Quote, BCIP has been positioned to encompass emerging initiatives and priorities for the Western Hemisphere as outlined in the Nassau Declaration and the Bahamas Declaration.
We have a Nassau Declaration?
Apparently we do. I know we're out of time. We have to pick this up on another day, but let me get through this article quickly.
It all sounds good, though, on the face of it.
Listen,
right?
No.
But who's going to monitor and evaluate it?
Listen, you've gone far ahead. The Bahamas Sustainable Investment Program. Let me delve further into the article. Fitzgerald explained that the BSIP, Bahamas Sustainable Investment Program, consists of three pillars, including the Bahamas Sustainable Investment Strategy, the Bahamas Sustainable Investment Facility, and the Bahamas Sustainable Investment Infrastructure. Quote, these pillars formulate a national strategy for sustainable investment, prioritized investment projects, and investment facility with a target of US $500 million and upgraded institutional infrastructure, he said. Fitzgerald added, as we approach critical climate milestones here at COP28, the government of the Bahamas is signaling that partnerships are key to address the climate crisis and advance sustainable development. We invite you to actively participate in this program, and we remain ready to forge new partnerships and synergies for climate action in our country and our region. I, for one, am grateful because If people are going to be sleeping on the beach, then at least we need some more low tide. I have not seen a government put this much effort into housing its own people. I have not seen our government put this much effort into feeding its own people. Not just that, what concerns me is I have a feeling we're talking about the National Investment Fund, but nobody mentions the National Investment Fund in this article, which is cool because they're not talking to us about perhaps one of the greatest financial initiatives launched by the government. I got a text here that says, first of all, how Jerome get job? I digress. I, too, Texter, was concerned when I saw that Mr. Fitzgerald had been appointed as a special advisor in the deliverables unit in the office of the prime minister. Mind you, perhaps he has a great track record of delivering things. I'm going to go back to the text, but my thing is these gentlemen continually show us they're not on the same page at all. There's another article, a couple of articles you can read to follow up and learn more about the Bahamas Declaration and the Nassau Declaration. Special Policy Advisor Jerome Fitzgerald's remarks at the Bahamas Sustainable Investment Program launch at COP28. This is from the Office of the Prime Minister, posted the 30th of November. Another article, Historic Milestones, OAS announces Nassau Declaration, Inter-American Climate Action Plan, and Bahamas Climate Finance Declaration from the Office of the Prime Minister. I just want to say this one thing. I know that y'all are all very busy in the Office of the Prime Minister. Without a doubt, you are working. I remember the words of the chairman, MP, Minister of Foreign Affairs, though. Don't confuse activity with action. So I know a lot of y'all are working, but it is not fair nor reasonable nor decent to say if they wanted to know the information, they would go and seek it out. You have a job not just to post the information, but to make sure that people are aware that the information exists and is available. The Nassau Declaration reaffirms the commitment of member states to effectively implement the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development, emphasizing the balanced integration of its economic, social, and environmental dimensions.
Remind me, what's our percentage of solarization in one of the sunniest countries in the world? Is it 1% or 2%?
You think this BTC ain't no difference between 1% and 2% in this conversation, Mr. Palmer? Forgive me. Listen, we are at the end of the show. To my trivia players, I am going to pass through. For the text line in particular, I have a timeline so I can get an accurate reading of the winners. I got a text here that says, but Aaron, which option Fred saying he taking? Is he holding or folding? That man don't fold. Don't go into no battle unprepared. That man don't fold.
He still remains our most honest politician. Always speaking what is on his mind.
Absolutely. Listen, for our...
He's a good singer, too.
He apparently sings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For our last trivia question of the day, the question was, which two NFL 2023-2024 Super Bowl contenders do not have to compete this weekend in the wild card games? The answer was San Francisco 49ers and Baltimore Ravens.
Okay.
Yes, and talk more about that tomorrow.
Hang on, we did have FOIA. It was the punch.
Absolutely.
So he was right?
Right.
Fred was right, but it was in the past, right?
Yes.
We need another punch.
I also want to make a note. A concern that I've heard multiple times over the last two decades is that a number of initiatives, grants, opportunities, scholarship opportunities come through the Ministry of Foreign Affairs via agencies like the Commonwealth Office. And people complain that the timeline with which they are released prevent the average person from being able to partake in it. Dear Minister of Foreign Affairs, just something to think about, to reconcile, to assess before you make such cold, blatant statements. I'm sorry we ran out of time today. There's much more that I wanted to touch on, including, again, like I started, the headline in today's Guardian, warning on illegal migration. I wonder if Mr. Morrison understood his audience. Is he, after all of this time in religion, unable to read the room? Do you know who you were speaking to, sir? Sounds like you want to be a prophet. But you're bringing to bear that which you speak of. You guys, let me shut off this mic before I say too much more. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next. Have a wonderful day. And remember, we just celebrated majority rule, the end of apartheid in the Bahamas. Have a great day and stay tuned. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next.